Well, we've heard the first part of Luke chapter 2 through the children's story. Now we're going to hear the next part, which is what happens to the shepherds and the angels. So the reading comes from Luke 2, beginning at verse 8 and continuing until verse 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Well, may God add his blessing to that reading.
Now, were you listening to the Bible reading, you younger people here? Remember the angel, the first angel came, and the first angel made this great announcement, "Do not be afraid." That's what the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be to all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." And there was a sign. When they went down to Bethlehem, the sign was that they would find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. There might have been lots of babies born that night, but there was only one who was lying in the hay in a cattle feeding trough. And that was the one. That was the one who was Christ the Lord, the Savior. Now, here's a bit I want us to think about now, just for a few minutes. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host, that means a great army of angels, suddenly appeared. And they were praising God. And what were they saying? Do you know? Very good, you were listening. Glory to God in the highest. That's the first bit. Well done, you got the first bit. So that's in heaven. Glory to God in the highest heaven. And on, where are we? Very good. Well done, Sean. And on earth, peace. And the last bit says, to men on whom his favor rests. So glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men, or to those on whom his favor rests. When it says men, it means all people, men and women, humanity, mankind, as we used to say, and those on whom his favor rests. I want us to think about what is wrong with the world. I don't think there's anybody here who would say that there's not something wrong with the world. And when you hear those words of the angels, I wonder if in your head there's a little bit of a question. And you say, well, hold on, those angels said that Jesus' coming would bring peace to men on earth. Or on earth, peace to those on whom God's favor rests. So we don't see much peace. In fact, if I just said one word, it will bring to our minds so many thoughts, wouldn't it? If you just name one town, Aleppo, and over the last few months, there have been some terrible things happening. And you say, well, what is wrong with the world? And then we just read our newspapers or we look at our television, and the news that we get is so often bad news about wars and about terrorist attacks. Think of what happened in Berlin when people were just out in order to enjoy the Christmas time, going to a Christmas market, and then the devastating effects of one person who decides he's going to do a wicked thing. What's wrong with the world? I wonder if some of these might be some of our answers. We probably would put at the top of our list, well, war is wrong, war. War is wrong with the world. That's what's wrong. There's so many wars going on. There always seems to be a war going on somewhere. And civil wars are dreadful, as well as other wars between countries. War is a very bad thing. That's wrong with the world. We would add, and we probably only say this over the last sort of 10, 20 years, terrorism. Those who would want to fight by means of creating terror and fear. And we think of what's happening in the world with various attacks that have happened even during this year. And then here, this says famine. Famine. So many people in the world who don't have enough to eat. We look forward, all of us, I'm sure, tomorrow to having some food to eat and to sharing that with some friends and family, perhaps. But there are those in our world who don't have enough to eat even tomorrow, even on Christmas Day, not any day. Intolerance. Prince Charles did a talk a couple of days ago, yesterday I think it was actually, and he said that he felt that there should be more tolerance of one another and of what people believe, and accepting that others might believe different things to you. There is a lot of intolerance in the world. Sickness. Not any family is ever free of being touched by sickness in some way or the other. Hatred. There's a lot of hatred in the world rather than love. Technology. I'm surprised I put that one on because someone said to me the other day that they felt that was the problem with the world. Technology. We can do so much. Computers can enable us to do so much good, but also so much bad as well. So I wonder if those are the things that are wrong. But I want to show you this picture. Because I want to suggest to you that all of those things are just symptoms. They're just symptoms. I don't know if this has ever been you or someone that you know. You come out suddenly and you've got all these spots everywhere. And they're itching and they're painful. And so you go to see the doctor. And now, if you can get an appointment, that is. And then you go to the doctor and you say, look, I've got all these spots everywhere. And the doctor says, I know what's wrong with you. I know exactly what's wrong with you. You've got spots. That's what's wrong with you. You've got spots. And they're all over you. Lots of, and they're red spots. I said, yeah, I knew that before I came to see you. That's a symptom, isn't it? That's not the cause. That's the symptom. So you say to him, I know I've got spots, but that must mean that something is wrong with me. Those are the symptoms. Well, all of these things are just symptoms. This is what the Bible says. This is not just my ideas. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says that all of these things are symptoms. They're like the spots. It's what we see. And we say something's wrong because of all of those. But they're the symptoms. That's not the cause. They're just like the red spots, the symptoms. Now, the doctor has got to be able to diagnose what is the cause of that. There's something underneath it all that's the problem. So let's have a few ideas about what it might be. Perhaps it's education. Perhaps if people were better educated, then they wouldn't behave in those sort of ways. Perhaps we need to teach people more. Perhaps it's government. Perhaps we need to have better governments, different governments, someone else in charge, someone who knows what they're doing, someone who can control situations better, someone with better ideas and policies and plans. Perhaps we just need more food to distribute towards everybody. Perhaps we need better health care. Perhaps that would be the best thing. But someone once said this, and I think it's very profound, and it's certainly something the Bible says to us. If our greatest need had been education, God would have sent us a teacher. If our greatest need had been for government, God would have sent us a politician. If our greatest need had been for food, God would have sent us a baker. If our greatest need had been for health, God would have sent us a doctor. But none of those are our greatest needs. The angel said, today, in the town of David, a saviour. God sent us a saviour. And that is because our greatest need is none of those things. Our greatest need is to do with sin. The Bible describes sin as disobedience to God, living our lives without thinking of God and without living for Him. And that's our greatest need. Long time ago, very, very long time ago, 1910, the Times newspaper wrote to some very good writers, some authors, and they said, we'd like you to write us an essay, and the subject is, what is wrong with the world? I don't know who else wrote in, but they got a letter from G.K. Chesterton. He was the man who wrote the Father Brown books, if you know those. And G.K. Chesterton wrote a very short letter. Dear sirs, what is wrong with the world? I am yours, G.K. Chesterton. I am. He said, the problem is not out there. The problem isn't things, isn't systems. The problem is in the human heart. And what the angels were saying is this. Glory to God in the highest. That's what you said, isn't it? Glory to God in the highest. The angels are saying that when Jesus was born, his birth showed God's glory in a way that God had never shown his glory before. The birth of that little baby in Bethlehem, laid in a little cattle trough, showed the glory of God more than anything else that God had ever done. Because it showed that God is a great, wonderful God, full of love towards us, full of kindness towards us, because God was sending us his own Son. And that brings great glory to God. God is a God of immense love, kindness, graciousness, wisdom. It brings God the greatest glory to send his Son as a little baby. God became human. God took human flesh and became a human being. He came down to be with us and to live here in this world. God came down, Emmanuel, God with us. That's the first wonder of Bethlehem. It brings great glory to God. Second thing it does is this. The birth of Jesus brings a new situation of peace between God and human beings so that we can receive all of God's blessings through Jesus. That's what it means by peace to those on whom his favor rests. It means that with Jesus coming into the world, there can be peace between human beings and God. Between human beings who in our hearts are bad. And yet with Jesus, we can be made good. So that we can be at peace with God. We can be forgiven. We can be rescued and saved and forgiven. And who is this for? It's for all those on whom his favor rests. God is a God who speaks to us. He shows his favor to us. He tells us that his Son is here in order to save us from the consequences of our sins and to bring us into a relationship with God. That's what Bethlehem is all about. It's about peace, not on earth between human beings, first of all, but between God and human beings, when each human being comes to put their trust in this man, not the baby of Bethlehem, but the great Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, who after living for 33 years in this world, gave his life on a cross to pay the price for our sins, to bring us forgiveness, and to bring us into relationship with God. Christmas is all about that, bringing glory to God and bringing a situation of peace between God and us, so that we might receive all the blessings of God, especially the blessing of forgiveness. I'm going to just pray now, and then we're going to sing our final carol. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for Jesus. Your angels told us that the birth of Jesus brought you great glory, because it showed you to be a God of love and kindness and compassion, a God who cares about our world, a God who loves this world, even though it's in a mess, and who came into this world because it's in a mess, in order to bring us back to you, that we might know you, and that we might have sins forgiven and peace with God. Help us this Christmas time to enjoy all that we can, and to enjoy family, friendships, to enjoy food and presents and gifts, to think of others, and to show love to those who are loveless. Be with those who are particularly sad at this time of year, and comfort and encourage them, we pray. We ask all these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.